ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Final hour of the program, boys and girls. The Bench, ESPN 97.5, Houston. Fred Davis, Henry Thomas, 14-year NFL veteran, started 14 years, 93.
And a half.
Career sacks, the most ever by a nose tackle in the history of the Professional Football League. That's the PFL. A lot of people don't know about the PFL.
PFL?
A lot of people don't know about the PFL. Taking a look at real quick, just kind of taking a quick gander at the quarterback salaries for 2020. We talked in the last segment about how the Bears, if the Bears are able to win on Sunday, they cash a playoff spot after what's been a very tumultuous 2020 for them. Starting off 5-1, lose 6 straight. Everybody's ready to, you know, fire everybody and their mamas and them's. And then they go back to Trubisky because Nick Foles was a dumpster fire, and he's now rattled off 3 straight wins. And again, if they're able to win on Sunday against a Green Bay team, they're in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
All right. And then what does that mean? Well, that means that then you have to decide, okay, what are we going to do with Mitch Trubisky? And I'm a believer that if Trubisky can get them to the playoffs with how he's played, and he's looked pretty decent the last few weeks, and I say pretty decent, I think they bring him back for a year. And I know you're saying that you think somebody else would potentially bring him back or give, you know, I'm saying they're not going to give him the farm. You're saying they might give him the barn. A barn to you is probably what, like a 3-year, $50 million deal, something like that?
Something there.
Somewhere 3 years, $50, $60 million.
50, 60, yep.
I just think that it's too rich. That would be, to me, too rich of a deal for a guy like a Trubisky where, A, the Bears didn't even flex the fifth-year option on him. And then, two, you just, again, he's still learning as an NFL quarterback. I mean, I think that's the reality of it. And I think it would be, I would be remiss as a franchise. Because, plus, two, I don't know that I want to invest in a guy that, you know, you waited until, you know, really didn't turn it on until the last 4 games of the season.
Well, let me put it to you like this. NFL coaches are like every other industry. You think it's something great, but there's only a handful full of them that are great coaches.
True.
There's only, there's a 32 teams full of them. There's a few that I can fit in my hand, you know, and I can pull out of there that are great coaches.
Right.
You see that with the development of quarterbacks. You've seen that with Mahomes was already special. But come on, he's had some guidance and some coaching there.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Because year one, gunslinger, just Year two, started reading defenses, started aligning his guys.
Yeah, I mean, he made it clear he couldn't read defenses when he got to the NFL.
Year three, he's destroying people the way he performed.
Yeah.
Because of the development of somebody they're helping. Deshaun Watson, still playing Deshaun Watson things. Still doing amazing things as a quarterback, scrambling and all. But you don't see the improvement where he's better than last year or better than the year before because he's learning skills. He hasn't had that kind of structure or tutelage to help him. That goes across the board with all quarterback. Wentz, great first year, second year. Injuries, okay, he's got hurt. But the offensive coordinator leaves.
He hadn't been the same since.
Goes down because he doesn't have that guidance, that tutelage to say, yeah, that's pretty good look or read, but this is what you should also think about.
What does that tell you about Doug Peterson then?
Doug Peterson had a crutch. Tretch walked away.
Okay, so you think that offense really then was more about Frank Reich?
That's what I'm thinking.
Because I'll put it to you, because, you know, as much as we wanted to celebrate Jalen Hurts after 2 weeks.
Exactly.
I mean, I didn't see anything from him yesterday that, I mean, listen, he's playing with the same bag of donuts that Carson Wentz has had to deal with this year.
And I'm not saying that Peterson's terrible, but it's like if they ask me to do this show by myself,
mm-hmm.
okay, cool. I'll knock it out. I'll bang it down. I'll do it. But I'm so much better doing it with you because I got somebody to bounce those ideas back and forth.
Right.
Same with Peterson. He lost that.
He lost his muse. He lost his muse.
Something to go back and forth with. So now he looks terrible. The team looks bad. Granted, they've been ravaged with injuries and missing guys and what have you. But the offense still does not look the same.
Carson Wentz hadn't looked the same.
Exactly. So,
but then, okay, and it really speaks to then just how good Frank Reich, and it really, like you said, that he might be the real brains behind the operation, Frank Reich, because let's call it what it is. You know, Indianapolis has looked better offensively.
There you go.
Now, at the same time, too, they didn't look so great last year.
Yeah.
Guess why? You had Jacoby Brissett who couldn't stay healthy.
Right.
All right. He got banged up. Okay, exactly. Yeah, I mean, hell, you had to play Brian Hoyer at one point. I mean, right. You know, that lets you know all you didn't need to know. But then you bring in a Phillip Rivers who, you know, is closer to, you know, is probably on hole 16 or 17 right now of his NFL career.
I mean, let's, chipping.
Yeah.
Not on the driving range. He's chipping.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That offense, but again, I don't think anybody would think at this stage. I mean, I wouldn't have said going into this season that if you had to choose between Carson Wentz or Phillip Rivers, I probably would have taken Carson Wentz.
Absolutely.
Just from the youth factor and just because I know what he's been able to do. At this stage right now, if you told me week 17 I had a game to win, and who would I, you know, everything being equal? Oh, give me Phillip Rivers.
There you go.
Give me Phillip Rivers because Carson Wentz, I don't know what's wrong with Carson Wentz. And I think that's part of the issue is that Carson Wentz doesn't know. But I know this much, after watching the Philadelphia Eagles the last few weeks, Jalen Hurts isn't the end-all, be-all that everybody – I mean, I get it. The backup quarterback is everybody's favorite guy in on a football team.
Right, until he has to play. Right.
All right, because once we've seen Jalen Hurts over the last couple weeks, okay, Jalen Hurts has looked very average.
Mediocre.
Okay, I mean, it's not like, I mean, again, well, I get it that, you know, everybody wanted to compare him to Michael Vick 3 weeks ago because, he came in the same time and, you know, against Green Bay, whatever. Listen, outside of them both being black and being quarterbacks, that's where the similarities between those two end.
Okay. Well, I make that point to bring this up. For the Texans coaching search, those are the guys you have to look for. I know you're a big fan of Bieniemy.
Oh, absolutely.
The guy from San Francisco.
To me, there's two guys that we'll do it in the next segment. Right. Plus, we got to get to our boy LaRaza. To me, there's two guys if I'm the Texans I'm going after. But go ahead and continue your point.
And there's a guy in San Francisco.
Oh, Robert Saleh.
That everybody's on. And I said wasn't ready. But when I look at his body of work.
You had an interesting thought as to why he's not ready yet.
Yeah, but after looking at his body of work. And
you're willing to backpedal off that.
I'm ready to backpedal. I'm jumping off of it.
Oh, really?
Because of the devastation of that defensive group.
Yeah.
And what he's still doing with the people that are out there.
Oh, and see, no. And that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up because that's what, when I watch what the 49ers are doing.
Yeah.
And guess what? They don't have the pieces on offense that the Texans do. Okay? I mean, you won a game on Saturday with C.J. Beathard.
Whom?
Okay? C.J. Beathard was your quarterback on Saturday, and you won. Why? Yeah, he played the best game he's ever played in his life.
Right.
Okay? But let's call it what it is. That defense is what made the difference on Saturday
there
for the 49ers.
Go.
Okay? And again, that's to your point. Now, listen, do I think they have more talent on that San Francisco 49er defense, even as ravaged as it's been, than the Texans do? Absolutely.
Right. Okay? Especially on the back end, yeah.
Especially on the back end. I mean, that again, that's where John Lynch, and say what you want about Jimmy Garoppolo, and we can go all day on that, whether or not he's the quarterback for the 49ers. I think most would probably say, eh, probably not, and I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers go in a different direction next year. But aside from that, you know, they've done okay as far as building that draft, you know, hitting on draft picks and building depth on that football team. Because I think right now, if they had a different quarterback,
yeah,
and hadn't been so ravaged, because I mean, again, they've been decimated at running back. They've been decimated at wide receiver. Okay, they've been banged up on the offensive line, and again, their quarterback has play has been all over the place because what they've had to deal with injury wise there. But yet again, here they're sitting. What I think, what 5-9? Yeah. I think going into the last, or 6-9, maybe now going into the last game of the season. And again, that's a testament to that San Francisco 49er team is just very well coached. Which, to your point, with this Texans team, you know, is it Tim Kelly or is it Deshaun Watson?
Right.
Whereas on the defensive side of things, that's just a group that literally, outside of J.J. ranting.
Well, both of those things, when you said, is it J.J., I mean, is it Deshaun or the coordinator?
Yeah.
Here's my big indicator. When Deshaun is successful.
Uh-huh.
He congratulates and gets congratulated by the offensive coordinator.
No, he does.
Everybody on defense, you don't even see Weaver.
No.
they just go sit down.
Of course, there's been a lot to celebrate on that side of the ball. That's for sure. All right, coming up next, we got La Raza chiming in, as well as why there's only one decision to be made for the Houston Texans. I'll tell you what that decision is next. Don't go anywhere. This is ESPN
97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Shout out to everybody on the Twitch.
About me. That's all I can get, y'all. It's a family show.
It is a family show.
Tune into the podcast. I'll lay it down for you. Put the other version on. You know, I can say all the everything. Hey, we're going to go check out Lazar.
Yeah, let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Welcome to the program, La Raza. Is this the radio station?
Oh, no, that's your boy La Raza, man. ¿Qué pasó? How y'all boys doing this morning, man? How y'all gentlemen doing, man?
Oh, man, we good. About yourself? I see you want to get in.
What part of town you calling from, La Raza?
You know me, man. You know I'm over here in the Southwest, but right now I'm in Sinaloa. You know, I'm right now I'm doing my other business. I can't really say.
Yo, you're in Sinaloa right now. You're in Sinaloa.
Doing his other thing.
Yeah.
Calling us from the mountains. That's what I like to hear.
Uh-huh.
You and El Mayo.
Hey, you know, I got to get that good reception, man. That's why I got to get that good cell phone. Hey, I got to find a good peak
just
spot,
stay,
man. You know what I'm saying?
Watch out for the ladies. That's what brought Chapo down, okay? Watch out for the ladies. That's what brought Chapo down. Just saying.
I take that advice. Well, you know what I got to say first and foremost, man? I appreciate y'all gentlemen filling in. Y'all doing a great job first and foremost.
Thank you.
But I gotta put in my two cents on this, man. That rant that JJ went on, it kind of irritates me and it pisses me off a little bit. Where was that energy when Bill O'Brien was here? How come he was not being outspoken and being that captain and being, if you don't want to be here, you're getting paid to play here, and you know, blah, blah, blah. What was that energy when we were 9-7 and we won the AFC South? If you want to try to win and go above and beyond just division titles, where was that energy? You're talking all this crap because you're 4-11 and you feel miserable because you're about to reach the end of your career. I mean, it just irritates me that you're putting down these other guys who maybe they're like, hey, you know what? It's over. We'll wait till next year. Let's just cover our wounds up. You know, just take the licks and move on. But, JJ, because you got paid, my man, I mean, I understand your frustration, but I don't think you should have ever gone on that rant. Keep that same energy 100% of the time. If you are dedicated to the craft, you got to keep that same energy, bro. I don't know why he did that to me, man. It kind of bothered me. I'm like, dude, you really talking on a smack? How come he wasn't like that when we had a head coach? Now that we don't have a head coach, He's going like, hey, he's going, hey, I'm outspoken. I'm the leader now. Like, Fred, nah, you didn't do that when Bill O'Brien was here.
Fred feels the same way. He didn't like the rant either. He thought he wanted to make jokes about it, but I was like, hey, I kind of feel his pain.
I think I'm with LaRosa to an extent. I guess it's just with JJ. I don't want to say it's seems contrived, but it's like, we get it. You're 4-11. I mean, your whole team's trash. I mean, we're just ready for the. I mean, that's where I'm at with it. Is, you know, and listen, we love JJ. We appreciate. We know he works hard. But I'm with you, LaRosa. I think it's too little, too late. All right. If you'd have had this same, okay, where was this rant when you lost to the Browns? Where was this rant when you lost to the Steelers? When you lost to the Ravens? Where was this rant before the bye week?
What are you guys talking about? It. You guys all said the same thing. Every one of those. Did you see JJ's face? Did you see him get upset when, even though they made a play? Don't give me that crap about where was it. You saw it out there, and every time you guys pointed it out.
Okay, great. So, but I'm just saying he waited until week 16 to go to rant at everybody.
He did the same things, and you guys all commented on it. You see him make that big play, and he was upset. He wasn't celebrating about it. He was this. Did you see JJ's face on the sideline? Did you see him not? You guys said it. That's the same damn energy. Recognize what you're talking about, people. That's the same energy. It just now came out into where now you get it. Now he's telling you, but he did the same thing then.
I think, listen, you and I have watched enough football together to know. I mean, I've been saying for a while now. I mean, you can tell. I mean, you could tell JJ was pissed. I remember, you know, you and I were watching. I can't remember what game it was where he made a play in the backfield. And then just walked off.
Yeah, everybody's trying to high five me. It's like, look, we losing.
Let's and you were like, I know what that feeling's like.
Exactly.
I mean, you were saying it. And so again, I'm not mad at JJ for what he's saying. I get it. I'm just kind of like, it's again, it goes back to where we love today in today's feel good. Everybody's got to, you know, dear God, you can't say anything that might piss somebody off, and everybody's got to get. Oh, that was amazing. That was so heartfelt. I feel it, JJ. It's like, okay, man, listen. We get it. You're pissed. All right, we get it. But the team's 4-11. And if you win next week, no one cares. And at the end of the day, you lose to the – because here's the thing. Like, we can't even – you know what the really sad part about this year is, watching the Texans play?
What's that?
Is at least if – you're getting your ass beat on a week-in, week-out basis, you can be like, hey, at least we're going to get a good pick. At least we can get some players to plug in and help turn this thing around real quick. You can't even get excited about getting a good draft pick. That's how crappy this season is for the Texans.
That's for the fans.
JJ, listen, you want to
– for the fans feeling that way, right? Because – no player gives a crap about
that's what I'm saying. The players don't care.
Yeah.
All right? You're just trying to get through the year and see what 2021 is going to play out for you.
Yeah.
You know, do you have if you're Terrell Adams, and I don't know what Terrell Adams' contract status looks like, we'll look that up tonight. But, you know, if you're Terrell Adams, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, hey, I should get a pretty decent contract this season. All right? I tell you what, we'll do a segment this week. Give me three Texans who, after all, as bad as 2020 was, who are sitting there looking back at their 2020 campaign going, hey, you know what? I'm okay. I'll take 2020. Because, again, you talked to – listen, 2020 has been one of those years where you got some business owners who, you know, are
thriving,
sitting there, you know, on the brink of bankruptcy and pulling their hair out and ready to, you know, lose it. Then you got, like you said, other people who – I ain't never done better in 2020. Corona, you know, my balance sheet's black and been black. Okay,
my delivery service is great.
Exactly right. So it's all a matter of who you talk to. Terrell Adams, there's probably nobody on this Texans roster that's made himself more money, outside of, you know, Laremy Tunsil and Deshaun.
Right.
But there's nobody on this team to me that's made more money for himself going into 2021 than Terrell Adams. Because there's nobody else. I mean, I you know, Kiki Coutee had a nice 3 or 4 game stretch.
Right.
Again, I don't know what his contract status is, and we'll delve into a little bit more of the weeds as far as contract guys go.
Merciless. He got another 2 years.
Merciless has one more year left, mercifully, and then you can get rid of him. And
what
I don't
happens
know,
if you get rid of him now? How big of a hit?
It would have to be one of those after June 1st cuts.
All right. It's coming. Stop spending.
I mean, that's the deal if you're I think with the Texans GM search, and we'll go ahead and jump on this real quick, and then and we'll get into this later on in the week. And I've got a few feelers out there for some GMs that we're going to try to get on board. I threw this out there, and we're going to throw it out again. 713-780-3776. Give us a call on the HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. I want to know what other than TV. And him being good on television qualifies Lewis Riddick to be the next Texans GM.
Okay,
and that's all I want to know. I'm not saying he's not the right candidate, but I'm for a team that needs. Here's the deal: you need somebody who has rebuilt a football team before. Period. End of story.
Or just built one.
Or just built one. Okay, and this is where, and we've talked about this on our podcast, and I'm sure other people on other radio stations have talked about this here locally. I don't know that I would make him my general manager, but if I'm looking at revamping my front office, if I'm Cal McNair and I'm not at least kicking the tires on Jeff Luno, then shame on you. I'm bringing in Jeff Luno to talk. If you can rebuild a baseball team and go find players across the world.
Not just in Houston.
Not just in H-Town. Not just in the, you know, you have found players overseas, okay? You don't think that Jeff Luno's a smart enough guy to learn how to find football players or to create a system where you can help rebuild the depth? Because that's what you need. You got to rebuild the depth on this football team. A, you need a better coaching staff, first and foremost.
To start.
Okay. I need a good coaching staff. Because if you have no good coaching staff, I don't want a bunch of retreads. I don't want a bunch of guys that, you know, buddy here, buddy there. I get there's going to be some friendships. I get that. That's the NFL. That's part of the gig. All right. But don't give me some dude who's got, you know, who was the quality control coordinator for Okie Doke State.
Right.
Okay, and now all of a sudden he's going to be your offensive line coach. All right. I need somebody who's taken an offensive line, who's coached guys up, who's been able to make adjustments on the fly and had success doing it. That's what you need. Because to me, after the head coach and offensive coordinator, your most important hire after that is your offensive line. Because you've got too much invested in that group to fail. And oh, by the way, if you're going to keep Deshaun in after the next 4 years, you better keep this guy from getting Matt Stafford, from getting
Carr.
Lucked, from getting Carr'd, okay? You better give that man some protection because right now you're doing the same thing to him that Detroit has done to Matt Stafford, that Indianapolis did to Andrew Luck. Okay, and that your own franchise did today. We'll never know what David Carr could have been.
Right.
Listen, he might have been Derek Carr, just a little bit better or the same guy.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't know. Which, again, hey, not bad, not the worst.
But we don't know because he got beat up so
bad. We'll
never
know because this poor bastard got the yips beaten into him.
Okay?
We'll never know. All right? We do know one thing, though. We do know who the head coach should be. We'll tell you who that is next. Don't go anywhere.
With the ghost in my brain.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Billboard, baby, do a leap and make them dance when they come on. Everybody looking for a dance, throw the run on.
If you want to run away with me, I know a galaxy and I could take you for a ride.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back. This is the HD show filling in for The Bench. That's John B. working the 1-2s and 3s. I'm Henry Thomas. That's Fred Davis. We making it hot. Hot. Look, end of 2020, we're excited. We're looking forward, people. We're not looking back. We're going to look forward, especially when it comes to head coaching and GMs. Because to be honest with you, don't none of us know what a GM does. You know, when I saw a GM when I played, when I had to go negotiate my contracts, I know there's more to it because they also negotiate contracts for advertisement, billboard placement, blah, blah, blah. They got a lot into their, you know, doing the salary caps and all that. That's not just what they do, but that's the only time I saw them. I don't know what it really takes. I'm looking for a businessman. Somebody is, you know.
Well, you definitely want, listen, you definitely want somebody that's business-oriented, a cap guy. That's the thing with a guy like a John Dorsey. John Dorsey's a cap nightmare. Okay, I mean, if you want a old dye-in-the-wool NFL guy, then yes, he's you know, from a personnel standpoint, to go get those third, fourth, fifth-round picks that are going to provide you with depth, then yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy you want. He did a great job in Kansas City. He's done a pretty solid job in Cleveland, putting the roster together, putting some talent in place. Now, when it comes to the cap, he's a disaster. That dude literally has no idea. I mean, he's monopoly money, essentially. You need somebody that is a good capologist. And he's terrible when it comes to coaches. I think his people skills are what his biggest issue are. Because he has no – him and Andy Reid never really got along, all right? For as good as he was as far as drafting people, him and Andy never got along from that standpoint. He cut Jeremy Maclin back in the Chiefs days through a voicemail. Okay. And then he's just, he made Freddie Kitchens your head coach. And I'm sorry, but Freddie Kitchens
is nobody's head coach.
It's nobody's head coach. I mean, and not to harp on the Lewis Riddick thing, but I'm going to put it to you like this. All right. Do you ever, going back to what we said with the Texans, Anthony Weaver will probably never. I shouldn't say never be a D coordinator again, but I think it's going to be a while before you see him get a D coordinator position. Okay, I think he'll get a D line position. All right, I could see him being a co defensive coordinator. I mean, you can see that down the line. But I think his next iteration as a coach will be as a position coach. All
back
right,
to a position coach.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to work his way back up again in a few years.
Back to college?
Maybe college would pick him up. But I think if you've been a DC in the NFL, I don't know that you want to take that move back, depending upon what the money looks like. Maybe if you're going to be like a co-head coach or something, or, you know, assistant head coach potentially.
In college? That money's getting up there.
No, that money, that's what I'm saying.
For assistants as well.
If a Power 5 school calls and says, hey, we want you to be our D coordinator and co-head coach and this, that, and the other, and we're going to give you a tree mill or whatever the hell they're giving guys these days, yeah, you probably go ahead and, you know, I don't know about $3 million, but you're going to get, like you said, you can get a nice little chunk of change. Tim Kelly, another example, all right? Tim Kelly, I think, will get an offensive coordinator spot. Okay. I think the best thing that's happened to him, getting away from Bill O'Brien is going to go down is one of the best things that could have happened to him. Because before Bill O'Brien left, we really didn't know what exactly it was he did.
Yeah.
All right. We knew he was the OC. We didn't know who was really calling plays. We didn't know how much input he had on the game plan. We didn't know how much a hand he had in Deshaun's development. And I think it's pretty clear to say, when you look at what Deshaun's done since week 5, with the, you know, cavalcade of wide receivers that he's had.
Yes.
It's pretty impressive, not just from a Deshaun standpoint, but to your point already, again, when he comes off the field, he's dapping up Tim Kelly. He's loving up Tim Kelly, all right? Yeah. Because I think Tim Kelly has shown him some things. I think those two have helped each other grow. Now, is that enough to bring Tim Kelly back in 2020? I'll put it to you like this. I'll say this much. If in 2021, let's say it's Eric Bieniemy, because to me, I think it starts and ends with Eric Bieniemy as your head coach. All right, that's it. It's Eric Bieniemy and everybody else. But if Eric Bieniemy comes on this staff and likes what he hears from Tim Kelly and says, we're going to go ahead and keep him on staff, I'm going to go ahead and keep him as my OC, we're going to work together, blah, 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 blah. Okay? Would anybody be that up in arms about Tim Kelly coming back?
Yeah. A lot of people.
You think so?
I agree keeping him on, but not as the OC.
Why? But what would you make him then? Quarterback's coach?
Exactly.
So who's going to be your OC?
I'll find somebody that's going to work with the style that I've learned under Andy Reid.
Okay,
and
but
he
then
can learn from that. I need somebody a little bit. No, I would love to keep him on the staff.
Yeah.
But now he's not going to be the OC. If you're okay with being the quarterback coach, there's opportunities down the line.
You're just afraid that if you're Bieniemy, Tim Kelly, knowing what your system is, so chances are you're going to bring somebody from Kansas City with you then.
More than likely.
So you're probably whoever your quarterback's coach is, and I want to say it's Kafka, if I'm not mistaken. I think the old who played a hot minute with the Eagles for back in the day. I think he's the quarterback's coach right now. So you bring somebody that knows that system, knows what you like to do. Bring him in as your OC, and it's kind of be. I mean, because basically it's going to still go back to doing what. But so basically, you're going to replicate in Houston what you learned in Kansas City. Whereas, yes, you're going to have an OC. He's going to have some plays, but you're going to be the overall domineering presence of the offense.
Exactly. And they've both been under Andy Reid, so they know that
how that works.
How that works. And you can't duplicate it because you don't have the same weapons. But you can improve on what's already here.
Yeah.
And I think that's the goal.
You'll incorporate what you can from that system.
Yep.
And then, obviously, you're going to need to get some pieces because there's
going to be a tough way to get them.
Well, because let's call it what it is, too. The problem about bringing that Kansas City offense over to Houston, first and foremost, is who's playing the tight end?
You've got a plethora of tight ends to choose from.
Well, yeah, you do.
You got Fells. You got Aikens.
Yeah.
You
got Pharaoh Brown.
You develop.
You got Kahale Waring.
Kelsey didn't.
I mean, got guys.
Kelsey didn't just start off like he is.
No, he didn't.
And these guys are young. They're going to learn.
So you're kind of going along with what I've been saying.
No. I'm not saying Bieniemy is the thing. I'm just adding on to what you're saying.
Well, no. But my point is that I think you've got some decent talent. I think the thing about this Texans team that people don't or could be in a pleasant surprise for, and I think this is why it goes back to this team, aside from not having the draft picks, and again, you got to get over it 1 year, you got to get through it in 2021, and then again, back in 2022 is when everything gets back to normal again, at least from your franchise standpoint, but I mean, from a drafting standpoint, per se. I think as long as you've got number four as your quarterback, though, and you get in some good coaching, I don't think that the way back is quite as monumental as people think. I think you can turn this thing around. This team can be a playoff team with the right tweaks and with the right coaching in 2021. Because this much you do know, all right? You should have beaten the Colts twice.
Right. Should have beaten the Titans.
You should have beaten the Titans, and you did beat the Jaguars.
Right.
So by that rationale, for a team that's as bad as the Texans,
they're in all those games.
You could be 5-0 right now. You could feasibly be 5-0 in your division.
Yeah,
with the amount of crap that you got and that you've had to endure through 2020, you could still your three busted. Think about it. Your three busted plays from being 5-0 in your division. And oh, by the way, the Titans and the Colts, even though the Colts right now are sitting at the number 8 spot, but are playoff teams.
Right.
Okay, so you got your three plays away from beating two playoff teams, all right, and having it be in a much different discussion on your season. So my point is this. For as badly coached as this team is, and we all agree that there's probably not a lot of coaching going on right now.
Right.
Okay, I mean, we can all agree that this team, and again, it goes back to what you were saying about JJ. I'll take it one step further. I think he's not only bitching at the players that are arm tackling and doing the old lay blocks and you know, ready to bounce. I think he's also pointing fingers at the coaches too.
Oh, without a doubt.
Looking at them saying, "What are y'all doing? Who are you coaching up? What are y'all talking about in meetings?
What are you doing?
So I think with the right draft, and again, take it for what it's worth. You're talking about the third round. You're not going to get a pick until the third round. Okay. Right. I mean, unless you pull some, do some finagling and make a trade here, make a trade there, maybe you get a second round pick. But I think there's enough there to where with the right coaching, with the right shrewd moves here and there, again, you're not going to go out and do some crazy free agency, but you're obviously going to have to add some pieces through free agency. You don't have a choice because, again, you don't have enough picks to do it otherwise. I think with the right coaching, with the right maneuvering of this franchise, of this roster, okay, you can be back in the playoffs in 2021. I don't think you're a Super Bowl contender by any means, but I do think this is a team that can get right back, that can get back into the AFC South playoff race, and then in 2022, now all of a sudden with another year, hopefully, people are back in the stadiums again. You know, the salary cap goes back up. You've got your first and second round picks. You've got a GM that you believe in. You've got a GM that you trust. You've got a head coach. You've got some synergy there. Now all of a sudden, this thing can turn around awfully quick. And let's not forget, too, this is Houston. Okay, this is a good market to be in. All right?
Great market.
It shouldn't be hard to get free agents to want to come to Houston. It really, I mean, to me, it shouldn't be.
No state tax.
No state tax. And oh, by the way, you've got a perennial All-Pro at quarterback, and that changes everything.
Absolutely.
And that changes everything. All right, one segment left to go in this bad boy. We'll get you ready for, what is it, the press box next? Is that who's coming up next? Press box coming up next. But before we do that, we'll put a bow on this show. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed it. We got three more left to go, don't you know? Don't go anywhere. Henry, Fred, JB in the Heezy for Sheezy on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey! Kanye-zy. I almost voted for Kanye.
Really?
Absolutely. If Kanye runs in 2024, I'm on that campaign staff.
But you ain't voting for him.
No, I'll vote for him. Absolutely, I will.
Yeah, I'll be on the campaign staff, not voting.
I would have been on his campaign staff in 2020 if he'd have stuck with it.
If he'd have stuck with the
logic. Hey, this stage of the game. What's logic? we're living in the Matrix as it is anyway.
We're not living in
the Matrix. Oh, we're living in the Matrix. By the way, did y'all hear there's a Matrix 4 coming out? Did you know that?
Is there four?
No, there's a fourth one coming out.
Oh.
I mean, there's technically not yet, but there will be.
Really?
My sister's boyfriend told me that there's going to be a new.
What gives him credibility? How would he know? He works in Hollywood? Because I think your sister lives in Kansas.
I'm pretty sure. But, well, they have the internet in Kansas.
I don't know that.
You didn't know about the Denzel movie. I mean, I don't expect you to know every and all thing. Are you in Hollywood? Are you in the movie business?
Neither are you.
Okay, but there's this thing called news.
Okay.
Like you can hear things.
So,
idea that a new movie's coming out, I don't need to be from Hollywood to know that.
I get that news thing because we got news that Slim Thug was from.
Yeah, Sean Mapes. Sean Mapes. Shout out to our boy. He was hot on that news too.
Oh yeah.
We had just met Sean Thursday. We did some radio on Sports Map over the weekend, and we're introducing ourselves. Hey, I'm Fred Henry, Sean. Sean says, I don't even know how it came up. We asked him if if he was from Houston. That's what it was. And he said, "Yeah, I went to St. Pius." And we were like, "Oh, okay. He's at home of Slim Thug and Gary Kubiak."
And himself.
And we're like, "What? Slim Thug?"
I And, like, St. Paul?
I was going to say.
I wonder how many people he's told that to.
Oh, dozens at least. Dozens. At he pulled that out like a six-shooter, man. Yeah. Like, hey, Slim Thug. Because Gary Kubiak going to St. Pius, I mean, that's not news to anybody. Like, that doesn't surprise anybody. Even if you don't know where Gary Kubiak went to high school, that doesn't seem far-fetched. Slim Thug going to St. Pius.
St. Pius still in the hood. But it's St.
Paul. Well, listen, you can have Catholic schools in the hood. Like, oh, that's hood. Nothing new.
It's right between Eggers Home and Studiewood. So.
Yeah, because you said it's off what? T.C. Jester and Shepherd. No, okay. Shepherd
and Ella area.
Cross Timbers?
Cross Timbers, just north of Cross Timbers, yeah.
Listen, anything north of Cross Timbers is the hood.
Dude, easy. It's my hood. It's my hood, right?
Anything around Cross Timbers. Hey, he's going to be the hood.
Well, I'm telling you.
Am I wrong?
It's the spot. It's the spot. That's all I'm telling you. Hood ain't bad.
Never said it was.
Don't act like you're giggling like the hood bad. Hood is good.
I am not giggling like the hood is bad. I'm just saying, if you're in Cross Timbers, you know what's going on.
I'm going to give you your little cred because you live in a nice neighborhood in a crappy house, in the hood house.
Trap House 2.0.
You got a trap house, baby. House is lovely.
Trap House in the Branch.
Yeah.
Trap House in the Branch. I love me some Spring Branch. I love where it's located. I love where it's at. It's just, you know, and for people that are going to rob, they're not going to rob my house.
They might hide out in your house.
They might. When the cops show up, they may run into my backyard. There's no question about that. But getting robbed, that ain't going to happen in my house.
Not with the selection around your house.
No, not even the other, like, smaller houses in my neighborhood. Because, you know, a lot of Houston neighborhoods now, there's no more land. So they're doing what they do in a lot of neighborhoods. They're just going to tear down the old house and put up nicer homes, newer homes. And that's obviously what they're doing in my neighborhood. And
but the little houses are on such nice lots.
That's all you're paying for.
That's what makes it so appealing.
Yeah, I mean, there ain't nothing, you know, like you look at Har or, you know, the.
Your house is all of 700 square feet, 800 square feet?
Nine
and some change.
Yeah.
On the right and the left of you, at least 6,000 square feet.
Oh, houses?
Yeah.
Well, the left of me, no. Because remember, it's another trap house next to me.
The right side.
Yeah, the right side.
Right side and across the street.
Oh, no, all
at
around
at least
me.
Six.
Oh, there's a house down the street from me that's a five-bedroom, four-bathroom. I think it's like 4,000 square feet, $1 million.
Yeah.
Million-dollar home.
Yeah. The Branch is nice, though.
I mean, the Branch is nice.
It's a great location. I love that. All that about it.
Yeah.
You know.
Memorial Park, trail, right down
Memorial
the street.
Memorial Park. You want to go run.
Check out yoga pants. Whatever.
Check out yoga pants.
Whatever you're into. Whatever you're into. Yeah. All right, so let's lay out this show for the rest of the week. We've got a few guests that we're efforting to get. We got some NBA guys we're trying to get. We got some NFL guys we're trying to get. Ronnie Coleman. I didn't want to throw that, but Ronnie Coleman, former Mr. Olympia.
Ronnie Coleman.
That's right, the Ronnie Coleman.
Okay.
Working on getting him on the show as well, talking all things Mr. Olympia. And I got to ask him, there's one question I have to ask him.
You want to ask me just so you can see how it's set? Okay.
No.
You going to save it to him?
No, I'm saving it for him.
Okay, all right.
Gotta
ask.
Him. Got to. It's
not It's not one that we
No, it's a weightlifting question. Okay. I mean, who better to ask it's not every day you can ask a weightlifting question to one of the greatest weightlifters of all time.
Well, I know what you're going to ask him.
What?
If it's a weightlifting question.
What? Uh-oh.
Probably has to do with the lower extremity of your legs. How do I get calf muscles? How get these muscles right here?
I hate you. I wish you had more time.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I want to ask Ronnie Coleman his calf routine. That's it. That's the only thing I want to ask Ronnie Coleman. Ronnie, we're going to make it short and sweet. Congratulations to all eight Mr. Olympias. What do you do for better calves if you're not so genetically inclined?
Don't send him a picture of yours because he's going to tell you to cheat. He gonna send you a picture.
They got implants.
Yeah, he gonna send
you. Nah, Ronnie. Nah, Ronnie's not that kind of guy. I don't get that vibe from Ronnie. So hopefully we're gonna get him on before the week's over. So we got a handful of folks that we're gonna try to get for your listening pleasure this week. So nobody, we threw it out there at the beginning of the program, and yet nobody responded. Nobody heeded our call.
No one knows why.
I wanted somebody to tell me why Lewis Riddick should be the GM for the Houston Texans, and not one person called in to tell
you
me why.
You got 3 more days to make it happen.
3 more days. Hey, we're going to keep it running, man. We're going to keep this question open. It's an open-ended question for the folks at home, all right? We want to know from you before the week's over why Lewis Riddick should be, cuz I mean, I see so many people on Twitter just I want Eric Bieniemy as my head coach and I want Lewis Riddick as my offense or as my GM. All right. I'm 110% on board with everybody about Eric Bieniemy. What that guy's done for the Kansas City Chiefs has been invaluable. What he brings from a leadership standpoint, because it's not just about what he does offensively. We get that, all right? He's
I'm not that sold.
On what he does offensively?
On all the stuff you're saying.
Well, I mean, I don't think, and you I mean, really nobody should be.
Has he learned some things? A lot of stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
I think he can bring that. Learn process.
Is he ready to be a CEO though?
That's a big question.
I mean, is he ready for the title? And that's but again, you don't know. I mean, yes, you're going to interview him. Yes, you're going to go through the iterations, and I get all that. I mean, listen, they've interviewed the Marvin Lewis's, they've interviewed the Jim Caldwell's. I think that has to do more with satisfying the Rooney rule than anything else, but at least they've got it done. Hey, I'm just saying.
They could have just brought me in for that. All it cost them was a lunch.
But then I think they would have known that it was more of a Rooney Rule thing if they bring you in. Really? Because at least with Marvin Lewis and Jim Caldwell, they've been head coaches.
That hurts.
We're bringing you in because why?
I've been a player. Successful.
No, I get all that, but...
I'm a people person.
Oh, so you're the Black Jack Easterby is what you're saying.
No, without the religion, without the grime... Without the...
See, I would disagree with that second part. And see, now that you're telling me you're Jack Easterby without the grime, see, now I've got character questions about you.
I'm just letting you know I can do the job.
Because I'm sure there's a few people I could go through your Facebook that would suggest otherwise when it comes to the grime.
They couldn't. No, and look, this is how common. No, they couldn't, and they wouldn't.
Something to be said for that. Yeah. Something to be said for that.
Would you rather be loved or feared?
Yeah, something to be said for that. There's something to be said for that. We'll also get into, all right, so Eric Bieniemy is obviously one name. Dollars for donuts. Is he your head coach in 2021 for the Houston Texans?
I think he picks a different job.
Really?
Yeah.
You think he'll go somewhere else?
I think so.
Why?
Just the opportunities, the picks, the...
I don't think the picks are going to loom as large as everybody thinks. I really don't. I think what Deshaun Watson gives you more than makes up for the lack of picks.
What Deshaun Watson gives you is great. But you know what it doesn't is it's not more than a good defense.
Yeah.
Because you're throwing up points left and right. And getting outscored because your defense is crap.
No, I mean, I get all that. I mean, but you know going into it that you're going to have to fix the defense. I mean, you know going into it that's a...
I know that I have to do that with what? Tape? Bubblegum? Not a first-round pick. Not a second-round pick. Third-round pick, I got to start, you know.
No, listen, you have to go and start mending that defense. There's no question about it. But you're also thinking, too, I'm going to bring in a good defensive staff that's going to coach up some of these guys that maybe were underperformers before.
Defensive staff can I bring in that's going to want to do that? I got nobody over there from the coach that's standing out. I got two guys. I got J.J. and the linebacker, Adam.
I think Justin Reed can be better in 2021.
Yeah, he could.
No, I think you'll be okay. I really do. I think if not having your first two picks next year are preventing you from coming to Houston, then I don't want you. Okay? If you're telling me that I can't do this job because I'm a little worried about not having those first two picks, then you know what? Get to step and I don't need you in the first place. Okay?
Nobody's going to tell you that.
Well, guess what? I'll read it out of them. Boys and girls, I'll tell you what, this first show has flown by. Listen, we're going to be here again tomorrow. We're going to be here Wednesday. We're going to be here Thursday as well. So hopefully you enjoyed the first show. Don't forget, at the Freddie D, at Henry Thomas NFL, at
Third Coast Johnny.
Third Coast Johnny. We appreciate everybody that called in today. Nate, Nasty Nate, get at us tomorrow. Got to shout out to La Raza. Give a shout out to our boy John as well. As Gilbert, and next time, make sure you're half awake when you call us, okay, bud? All right, so coming up next, we got the press box, all right? So definitely stick around for that. And, of course, Freddie D, HD, and our boy John B. will be here tomorrow. For John, Henry, I'm still that dude, Freddie D. H-Town and America, you know we love you.
Peace!
ESPN 97.5.